You ready?
For what?
You going to help me?
Yeah, for right here.
Okay. Number 90, please. Number 90. I can hear you there. Thank you, Dan. Let me turn my hearing aids up. Tell me the old story of unseen Jesus and his glory, Jesus and his heavens. Tell me the story, oh, simply that's not the one, is it? Tell me the story slowly that I may take in that wonderful redemption God remedy for sin. Tell me the story. I think that's enough of that one. Jesus made thee whole. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I didn't do too well with that one. Number 97. One day.
No.
I'm sorry, I'm not in very good voice today.
97.
How many verses are you going to say?
1, 2, and 5.
Sin was as black as could be. Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is He. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away, rising He justified freely forever. One day He's come. And rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is He. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away, rising He justified. One bringing glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away, rising He justified.
It's up to Jackie.
Can you do that?
My helper.
I'll even help you.
Oh, trio. Okay.
This is our favorite.
This is your favorite.
Is that five?
A number?
We should let them by heart. You find it yet? What is it?
Sounds right. 397.
397? Connie knows our favorite.
All right. Wayne likes to hear y'all sing, so we'll do this for him.
Okay.
You see, when this comes out on the recording, the only one that it hears is you. It can't pick, this microphone don't pick up the congregation.
Oh, okay.
So it catches you.
Why don't you skit on one side and put Jackie in the middle? Yes, sir.
I'm just going to back up.
Oh.
I'm going to back up.
Okay. 397.
I'm just going to sing.
We have fun in the Lord's house.
Y'all sing.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are dying. The pleasures earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me brother, if the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you. If you kneel to him in humbly prayer, it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
I'm glad you like that. All right. All right. Will our usher, Brother Rommel, come and receive our offering tonight, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate that.
this coming Wednesday evening now, remember, Brother Roger is going to be bringing us a special lesson on Catholicism. We've been kind of hitting the highlights of many religions in the world because there are so many different religions in the world. It's amazing how many there are. And all of the people that are under one denomination don't necessarily believe what everybody else does. There are just about as many beliefs as there are people in the world. But Brother Roger used to be a Roman Catholic before he got saved, came to know the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior. And he's going to be talking to us about Catholicism. When the Catholics started, we were just talking about this a while ago, they did not have a New Testament. And having no New Testament, they had no standard. You know what I mean? They had no authoritative standard that they could go by. And so they just had to fly by the seat of their pants, I think is the way that is often referred to. And so you can imagine, and besides that, there were a lot of religions in the world when Christianity came along. Remember that you've got 4,000 years of human history before Jesus came into the world. And even Judaism didn't have its start until way back in the days of Abraham, you might say. Of course, Moses was the one that compiled the Pentateuch, the first five books of our Bible, that got it off to a start. Then we had the prophets and all of this added to it. But he's going to be talking to us about that Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock. Now, I hope that our lack of attendance tonight, we had so many people here this morning, we appreciated every one of them that were here. But again, this is Father's Day, and I can understand a lot of people are celebrating. Children come home and take Dad out to dinner and all such things like that. Now, that's all right. But I had a subject tonight that I wanted to deal with here, a very serious subject called the end of life. The end of life. I just jumped over into the book of Hebrews, went to the 9th chapter and to the 27th verse, and picked out this familiar verse of Scripture. Here, you'll recognize this. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, lost my place here, and it's hard to find it sometime. But after this, the judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die. I don't want to preach a morbid sermon. For Christians, you can't talk about death and be morbid, because death is the way that we will enter into heaven. But I think all of us know what the end of life is. It's called death. Death is something that we are all acquainted with. And whether we like to think about it or not, there's going to come a time, if Jesus tarries his coming, and I say that in relation to the rapture of the saints that will take place at the first resurrection. This is something that we're acquainted with, and it's an appointment that we all must keep. There are a lot of people in the world today that we know of that do not fear death.
I don't know why that is, but I'm thinking of a terrorist in particular who will strap explosives on himself and go into a crowded shopping area where lots of people are gathered and push a button, and those explosives will go off, and you'll notice that they never find any remains of the person that was wearing the belt. It just blows him to smithereens. Now, a person who will do something like that, it's a form of suicide, as far as I'm concerned, and they don't have a respect or a fear of dying, apparently. And there comes a time in the life of Christians where we're not afraid of dying, because the Bible teaches us, and our faith confirms the fact, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But death is a frightening specter that's feared by most all mankind. And the purpose of my message tonight, and I studied this, and I want to share my findings with you, is to give us a better understanding of death. Now, death is accompanied by sorrow and grief. Believe you me, I know. It bothers me sometimes. I went down here to Country Waffle the other morning. I had some business at the credit union, and I went in there for breakfast. And I'm sitting here in a booth by myself. Well, now that's pretty bad. I don't like to eat by myself. And it's also a place where my wife and I used to frequent. And we would always eat there. And when I go down there then, I'm sitting by myself and she's not across the booth from me. And that makes it depressing to me. And when I get in a mood like that, it's a mood. I don't know if you're that way with John or not. You probably are. But the other morning I was there, and across in another area over here was a lady who had a little girl, sounded like a little girl anyway, who must have been about 2 or 3 years old. And I'm sitting there eating and minding my own business, and all of a sudden I heard that little girl over there, never did see any of them, but I heard her, and she cried out, "Mommy!" That's all she said. Mommy didn't even answer. Just, "Mommy!" And that just pulled a string somewhere, and I started boo-hooing. It makes me mad when I get that way, but it's just one of those things. It just brought back memories, I suppose. And Friday, of course, I'd been out to the cemetery anyway. There are different kinds of death. When you read your Bible and you come across that word death, the first thing you need to do is to stop and discern what death is talking about. What death is under consideration in the words of that text? Otherwise, you're going to wind up with some real wild and woolly doctrines. You're going to get mixed up and have some weird ideas about death. But you can usually tell from the context of it what it's talking about. I'm going to discuss 5 deaths with you for a moment. We're going to be looking in the Bible here about these. Death number 1 is
a death that is the most denied. It's a death that is less understood in the world than perhaps any other one. And yet, it is the most serious death of all. It's a spiritual death. Usually when we think of death and dying, we think of the physical. But this is a spiritual death, and this is the death that entered into this world back in Adam's day when Adam sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. Let me read you that scripture, and you follow me tonight, because this is a very serious matter. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man being Adam, of course, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely, what? Die. Now that's the first time that you're going to find that word in the Bible. If you disobey me and eat of that forbidden fruit, thou shalt surely die. Well, we know the story that Adam's disobedience to this clear-cut command of God opened the sin gate, and sin entered into the world through Adam's disobedience to the command of God, and death by sin. And death then passed upon all men because of one man's transgression. Now, Adam's one sin affected the entire human race. For almost 6,000 years, sin has been in the world, and death by sin. One of the greatest catastrophes, I suppose, was back when the flood came in the days of Noah, because that was the time when everybody except 8 people on the face of the earth died, didn't they? They were drowned in the flood. Now, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 about this. And what he said is very important. Wherefore, as by one man, we're talking about Adam in the Garden of Eden, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That is spiritual death. That's a death that sneaks up and catches you when you're not looking. A spiritual death. And that's the death that Adam died the very day that he partook of that forbidden fruit. In the day, God said, that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Day and die. Now, This is the death that Paul wrote about in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, where he says, "And you hath he quickened," the word quickened means made alive, "you hath he quickened who were in the past dead in trespasses and sins." There was a time when you and I were dead. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. And that, of course, is what brought the new birth about. Jesus told us you must be born again. So, as descendants of Adam, we all inherit his sin nature. We are alive physically. We don't die physically, but we die spiritually, and we are dead in our sins while we are still alive in the flesh. That's the reason so many people don't know about this death, is because they're still alive in the flesh, and they do not know that they, in God's sight, are dead spiritually in trespasses and in sins. And this is death that brings on eternal damnation. So it's a very serious death. Jesus said that ye must be born again, and he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. And spiritual death is the reason why Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world. And through him, those who are spiritually dead can become spiritually alive. And that's the new birth. Just like through our natural birth, we became physically alive. It's through the born again experience that we become spiritually alive. That's death number one. Everybody that isn't saved is spiritually dead. Death number two. Well, let's jump into physical death. We read about that in Genesis chapter 5. It starts off by telling us that Adam lived 930 years, and he died. Well, what death did he die? He died a physical death when he was 930 years old. He had already died a spiritual death when he was in the garden and disobeyed the Lord. That's spiritual death. Now, this is physical death. And a lot of people, they get, say, mixed up on this. Well, what's God talking about here? He said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But he lived to be 930 years old. So is the Bible contradicting itself? No. He died spiritually the day that he disobeyed the Lord. He died physically when he was 930 years old. Seth lived 912 years and he died. Enos lived 905 years, and he died. Methuselah lived 969 years, and he died. That's the physical death. Regardless of the time measured by the number of years, death finally comes. It's an appointment there. As we read in Hebrews, it's appointed unto man once to die.
Now, that covers all races, all nationalities, all gender. Age has nothing to do with it. Physical death can and does reach into a mother's womb and take the life of her unborn child. A 2-year-old child can fall into a swimming pool and drown. A 4-year-old child can ride his tricycle out into the street and a car hits him and he dies. A teenager gets his first car and gets out acting wild and gets in a wreck and he loses his life. Death can enter into a room through closed doors and snatch away the life of an adult as he sleeps peacefully in his own bed. Death is no respecter of persons. Now, in this respect, let me refer you again to Luke chapter 16. We learn so much from this. When Jesus tells us about, and listen to this, a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. The rich man died. All right, what kind of death are we talking about here? Spiritual death or physical death? I think it's a physical death. Listen to it. And was buried. They buried his body, not his soul, not his spirit. No doubt they had an elaborate funeral. He was rich. No doubt they had a big tombstone that had his name in gold on it in the cemetery, marking the place where his body was laid. The rich man died and was buried. But it goes on to say, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Wait a minute now. He died and was buried. What's this stuff about hell and lifting up his eyes? That was physical death. Well, was he really dead or not? He lifted up his eyes, being in torments, he could feel, and seeth Abraham. He had eyes, he lifted them up, and he saw Abraham afar off. Had good vision. I can't even see afar off. I've got glasses. But he saw him afar off. And Lazarus, that was the beggar that was laid at the rich man's gate. He had died also. And the beggar in his bosom, and he cried and said, he's speaking. He can see, he can feel, he can talk. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Wait a minute, where's your tongue? It's out yonder in that Jerusalem cemetery. It's still in your mouth. Your body is in the grave. It's rotting. It's going back to the dust from whence it came. What do you mean? Cool your tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. So here they are. Where are they? He's in hell down there, it says.
In hell he lifted up his eyes, seeth Abraham afar off. Abraham, who had physically died himself back in 1792 B.C. He had been dead over 1,800 years. And this rich man in hell sees Abraham, who's been dead 1,800 years. And Abraham talked to this dead man, this rich man who's now dead. And strange, isn't it, that this dead man in hell, whose physical body was still fresh in the grave, who was also dead, but he could see. How could he see when he didn't have any eyeballs? His eyeballs was rotting away in his head in that grave. He could speak. He had a tongue. He felt the fires of his torment. And he could even remember his prior life here on earth. And yet his body is still yonder rotting in the grave. But he's dead. That's physical death. Let's look at death number three. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, the Apostle Paul makes a statement. Now we know about Paul. Paul had died once. He was stoned to death. They drug his body outside the city and threw it out on the side of the road. And when he writes about that experience, he says, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. He just knows what happened. Now, Paul wrote here, and he says this, I die daily. Now, daily to me means every day. I don't know what it means to you. I die daily. How do you die daily, Paul? Are you talking about physical death? You get stoned to death every day? Are you talking about spiritual death? Do you become separated from God, because to be separated from God is spiritual death, every day? What do you mean when you say, I die daily? He's not speaking about spiritual death, is he? He's not talking about physical death either. Well, what death is he referring to that he is experiencing on a daily basis? He answers this in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Let's look at this. What shall we say then? He starts off on this verse. He's including other people besides himself. We, plural, more than one. And he's writing to Christians who have been born again, who are saved. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? that grace may abound. Because he's talking about grace, and where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And that's another lesson. But he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, he answers his own question. How shall we, watch this now, that are dead to sin, T-O, not T-W-O, not a number, we are dead to sin. That's another death. It's not a physical death. It must be spiritual then. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? First, we were dead in sin. Now that we've been born again, we are dead to sin. We've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. We are become dead to sin. And that is our position before God. That's what we call sanctification. We give up the old life. All things become new. Instead of cursing, we now praise. Our character, our lifestyle is different. The old man is dead. What happened to him? How did he die? If the old man is dead, Paul answers that here in Romans 6. Look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, with Jesus. When you see Christ on the crucifix, when you think of Jesus on the cross, oh, that's the Son of God. He is dying for my sins. But more than that, I am identified with him in his death in such a way that I am crucified with Christ. Christ died on the cross. They took his body down from the cross, wrapped it in burial clothes, and buried it in Joseph's new tomb for 3 days and nights. You and I were crucified with Christ. When Christ died, we died. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth means from now on, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead, which death is he talking about here? Crucified with Christ. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we're nailed to the cross with Jesus. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Because Jesus did not stay dead when they went to that grave site on the morning of the third day. The angel came and rolled the stone away and said, he is not here, he is risen, come see the place where the Lord lay. And if we died with Christ on the cross and were buried with him in that tomb, when he came out of that grave on the third day, we came out with him. And we are just as alive as he is alive. We believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. That's the end, isn't it? No more. Period. Death has no more dominion over us. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, Paul says, reckon ye also yourselves. Now that word reckon means consider. Consider yourself. Think of yourselves. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. It's not talking about physical death, is it? Not at all. It's not talking about spiritual death, like Adam back in the Garden of Eden. Dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. And mortal body is this physical body that we have that dies and we bury it. That ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield, yield means to surrender, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Because when Christ came out of the grave, we came out with him. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Dead in sin, dead by sin, dead to sin. Now, let's go to death number four. Death number four that we want to talk about is the death of the immortal soul. That's not a contradiction of words. Immortal means ever living. Soul of man never dies. But yet here, we find that man is a living soul. We human beings. Our bodies were formed out of the dust of the earth. God breathed into us the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Go back down to the rich man. We know where his body was. What was it that could see? Our eyesight does not die when this body dies. Because the senses that our body has are the senses of our soul. The rich man could see, he could feel, he could speak, he could remember. All these faculties were still alive, just as alive as they had ever been, because it was his soul that was in hell and not his body. Now, our living soul then is housed in a temple of clay, a body of flesh, which eventually dies. And it leaves the soul homeless, bodiless. And if that soul is lost, never been saved, never been born again, when that person dies physically, that lost soul goes to hell. If that soul is saved, it goes to heaven. Hear the words of Jesus in Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So his soul can be lost. Now the decision as to where we, that is our soul, will spend eternity is up to us. It is our decision to make, and he urges us to make it now. Because if you wait until it's too late, it's too late. So to help you make a wise decision in this regard, that's why we preach. We tell you about Jesus who made it possible through his death on the cross for our soul to go to heaven. After all, we were made in God's image after his likeness, and he wants us to be saved. And if we believe on him, and if we repent and accept Jesus as our personal Savior, he will save us. And he is the only one who can. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So for the Christian, death becomes the doorway to heaven. We'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord. To die is gain. For the unbeliever, death is the doorway to hell. And once he goes in and that door closes, there's no way out. But there's one more before we quit tonight. Death number 5. Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. This, by the way, is called the second death. Doesn't mean the last one, it just means the second. It's not the way I started off. I made it number 5. You could talk about it first, make it number 1 if you like. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. See, you've got to know which dead he's talking about here, which one of the 5. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. That's a rich man again. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, John writes. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire becomes the second death. Hell is emptied into the lake of fire. Death, the sea, everywhere the dead have accumulated during the years, for 6 millenniums. And these dead souls, like that rich man over there in Luke 16, have physically died. Their souls have been in hell since their physical death. They are brought out of hell. They are judged before God. And then they are cast into the lake of fire. Why won't people believe that? That's God's word. So I hope that what we've said tonight will help you when you're reading your Bible, when it talks about death and dying, know which one of the five that it's talking about. Let's stand together and we'll have prayer. Appreciate you being here tonight. And Brother Pat, would you lead us, please, in our benediction tonight, please, sir? Amen.